It's been about a year ago today. Well, maybe it was April, May-ish last year. And I was still out in Missouri at that time, and a seminary friend of mine was, he had already become a youth pastor at a small country church in Missouri. And we went, it was my friend's first time kind of facilitating worship. The pastor was out, I don't know if he was on vacation or what, but my friend, as he led worship and it kind of went smoothly, but the next thing we know is church is over, and everybody was like was excited, and I couldn't figure out if everyone was excited because they were filled with the Spirit or everybody was excited because they got out of church early. I'm not sure, but there's a running joke in the Church of the Nazarene that if we get out early enough, we can beat the Baptists to the lunch or feeding areas in the community. So I don't know. That may or may not happen today. I'm not sure. But we have arrived. What I mean by this is that the cold weather is gone, right? Yeah? You happy? Cold weather's gone? The gloomy, depression-like season of winter is gone for another year. How about that? Have you ever taken notice in the month of May how fast it takes trees and other plant life to shake off winter and allow life to once again spring forth? I paid special and particular attention this year, and I think it took like a week or a week and a half to maybe 2 weeks for the trees to be full of leaves. I even remember when the lilac bushes at my parents' house started to sprout buds, and I was like, oh, the leaves are coming, and then that means the lilacs are coming, and the yard smells wonderful. just as the plant life is taking in the warmth and the sun, we too are happy that spring has come. And summer is fastly on its way. Gone are the days where we are complaining about how cold it is out or how much snow is accumulating outside and how nice it is out and how much more happier we feel because we are soaking up all the vitamin D that our body is producing from being in the sun. You know, scientifically, there is a reason why winter months seem more gloomy, sad, or dark in a way. And the spring, summer months seem brighter, happier, and energized. In the winter months, we are less exposed to the sun than we are in the summertime, in the springtime. Our bodies make vitamin D, and our brains also release endorphins, causing us to be happier when we're more so in the sun. We're thankful for the spring and summer months, though the winter, fall and winter months also have things to teach us. Today, May 31st, 2015, is Trinity Sunday. Churches all around the world are celebrating what is deemed by the Church Universal as Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday falls 1 week after Pentecost Sunday, which was last week, or when we celebrate Christ's gift of the Spirit to his church and his ascension to the Father. As we express our thankfulness for the warmer months, the warmer weather, and as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, I hope we find so much more today. We celebrate what Christ has accomplished for us through his life, his death, resurrection and ascension. We celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit and the abundant vibrancy in the Spirit. That's what I want to share with you this morning. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 8, 1 through 11. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his son in body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son, such as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so the just requirement of the law would be fully sacrificed, fully satisfied for us. For no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about that what pleases the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Thanks be to God. The first four verses here in chapter 8 of Romans provides us, I'll call it a vehicle, by which we're able to live an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit. How many of us stretch the law or try to get out of breaking the law, like a speeding ticket? We bat our eyes or attempt to tell a funny joke to the officer in an attempt to get out of receiving the ticket. Some of us are lucky and the officer comes to us and says that they're not going to give us a ticket. Maybe because of a steak, but the officer surely does tell us to slow down. How many of us actually blur the boundaries of the law? For example, on highways around here, the speed limit is 45 or 55, and I've noticed most are doing 65, 70. When the Interstate 80, speed limit's 65 and 70 in some parts, and when I'm driving on 80, I notice people passing me doing 80, 90 miles an hour. When we break these laws, we're guilty. We've messed up. On a scale that is in no way comparable to a traffic ticket, God, not because of some clerical mistake, but because of the sacrificial, humble, and obedient death of Jesus at the cross, God, the one who has authority to say it, says, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for us, the guilty. Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What Paul is also sharing with us here in the first four verses is that there is freedom in Christ. Through Jesus, I can walk. I can live according to the Spirit. A few years back, I received a Christmas gift from a pastor and his family who wanted to encourage me on my journey with God. The gift was one of those little card holders that you can get at a Christian bookstore or, I don't know, maybe Walmart. I'm not sure. But and on the cards, there's scripture verses or portions of scripture. When I first started using the holder, I would change it daily. I would flip the card. I think there's one on each side. Until I came to that one card. The scripture verse came from Romans chapter 8, verse 6, which I read. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. These were liberating words for an individual who had just found their faith 2 or 3 years prior. That so long as I had my mind set on Christ, so long as I was filled with the Spirit, I would have life. I would have peace. And nothing more gets me excited. Kind of just want to go, woo! Did that get your attention? Why do I share this story with you? Well, there are 4 key verses here that I believe show us or direct us to an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit. And some of those verses are in verse 6. We could say that they help us see marks or characteristics of one who is living in abundant vibrancy in the Spirit. Verse 5 plainly stated, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Those living according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. The word flesh here is an indicator of the things that we sinfully do with our bodies, and also an indicator of the worldly. Paul encourages us to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. This is where we make a choice in our mind. This is where spiritual warfare makes sense. Are we choosing to live our lives for ourselves and for the world, or are we setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, or on godly things? The first direction and characteristic of living an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit is that our minds are determined or set towards the cross, towards the Spirit and His leading. Verse 6 is up front as well. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I hope you find these words to be as true and peaceful as I have found them to be. The key word here is controlled. Once we have determined or set our minds towards Christ, the cross, Christ and His Spirit, we must surrender ourselves and allow ourselves to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, controlled is a negative term in our culture, isn't it? Who in here would be the first to say they like to be controlled? Don't raise your hands. I know I wouldn't. I don't. When we think of being controlled, we think of a ball, a chain, and shackles, right? We think of the Israelites in Egypt. We think of all those who are oppressed around the world. However, I must say this morning, being controlled by the Spirit is so much different than what we think of as control. Remember, the first 4 verses indicate to us, one of those 3, we are free in Christ. Christ breaks the chains and shackles of sin and darkness. And because of that, we submit to His will, His way. We live life. We live peace. We live with an unspeakable joy. And so the second direction or characteristic of living an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit is that we are submitted to Christ and His Spirit. And flowing from that is life and peace. Verse 10 says, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Why is the Spirit life? Because of righteousness? Because, as Merriam-Webster Dictionary points out, it's acting in accord with divine or moral law, or free from guilt or shame. There's that word law again from the beginning. But remember that there's no condemnation for those in Christ. The Spirit is life. The Spirit is part of the Trinity, and in essence helps us act or live in accordance with what is godly, or to make Christ-like decisions. So the third direction and characteristic of living in abundant vibrancy in the Spirit is that the Spirit is life because the Spirit helps us. The Spirit is God living inside of us, guiding and leading us, if only we submit to Him. If we yield to ourselves and allow God to guide. Verse 11 says it all. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, we better be ready for God to use us in miraculous ways. Just as God raising Jesus from the dead. That same Spirit that dwells in us, if we will allow God's Spirit dwelling within us, we are empowered by that same miraculous power that raised Jesus from the dead. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That provokes me. And in a way, it's like if you've ever seen the Looney Tunes, it's like Bugs Bunny putting a pin on Elmer Fudd's chair. It gets you jumping. It gets you moving. At least it does me. So the fourth and final direction and characteristic of living in abundant vibrancy in the Spirit is that God's Spirit dwells in us. We are empowered by the same miraculous power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. How do I know I'm living an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit? Maybe some of us here today would say, I know without a doubt that I'm living an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit. That's great. I would remind you to allow the Holy Spirit to check you and continue to guide you. Maybe some of us here today resonate with some of the characteristics, but not all. Remember that the characteristics are also directions that help us get to where we need to be. Maybe some of us here today don't even know where to begin. We don't know. Hear these words. C.S. Lewis, who many of you may read, I sure do, books like Mere Christianity or his Chronicles of Narnia, in a book called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Lewis creates a character named Eustace. He's a young boy who, because of greed, turns into a dragon, and he has a problem with his foot. He's in extreme pain. He wants relief desperately. And in the story, he meets a huge lion who wants him to follow him. They travel to a high mountain, and they come to a beautiful, huge well where Eustace the dragon wants to bathe his foot in the cool water. The lion tells Eustace that he has to undress before getting in the water. And Eustace, he doesn't understand because dragons don't wear clothes. It's confusing to him. But then Eustace remembered that dragons shed their skin like a snake. So Eustace begins to scratch. And some scales, a little bit of skin, begin to fall off. Finally, he gets the whole skin to peel away, but discovers that there's another layer of skin. And that after that one comes off, there's still yet another layer. At some point, the lion steps in to say, "You need my help. Eustace, you need my help." But Eustace, the dragon, is afraid of the lion's claws. But he so wants to get into the water. As the lion begins to peel the deep layers of skin away, Eustace is convinced that he's going to die. But he doesn't. After the last of the skin has been cut away by the sharp claws of the lion, he picks the dragon up and throws him into the water. It stings at first, but soon it's wonderful. And then, as he swims in the water, Eustace discovers that he's a boy again and not a dragon. Here, C.S. Lewis beautifully illustrates our need for God and our need for God's help. The lion says, "You need my help, Eustace. You cannot do it alone." God begins to do his work. Eustace has to surrender to the lion. Did you notice that? To allow the lion to begin its imagery for God's work. This is imagery. This imagery here, it's direction enough for us. If you want to, and are not already living out an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit, you need only to surrender to God and allow him to begin his work. It may seem at first like you're going to die, or it may sting, it may hurt, but as we see from this imagery from C.S. Lewis, in the end, there's a beautiful result. It is a daily choice to either set our minds on Christ and his Spirit, or on the flesh and the world. Flowing from our choice to set our minds on Christ and his Spirit, we ultimately produce the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to gather together to worship again. Lord God, we are all challenged and checked today as we look and see where we are today in relation to you. Maybe today some of us are not quite, or we don't quite know where we want to be or where we are. And maybe some of us don't know where to begin or how to even find you, Lord God. But what we do know is we want an abundant vibrancy in the Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you put people in our lives who are able to help us and encourage us in our walk with you. May we always be constantly in tune with your Spirit. Allow the Spirit full control and in the driver's seat of our hearts. Dismiss us now, Lord God, by your grace, and provide us with safe traveling mercies. And wherever we go today, may we remember that it's the Lord's day. And that we rest up today in your name. And today is a day about remembering you. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for being here. Go in God's grace and God's peace.